my assignment to give an earnest charge to the pastor. Are you up for standing for another few minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Good. If I can make it for 10 minutes or so, so can you. Okay. It fell to me at the presbytery meeting about a week ago to give the report from this congregation to the presbytery. And I don't remember the exact words, but I expressed how joyfully grateful I have been to see Todd carrying out, even though he wasn't officially your pastor, but carrying out the whole range of pastoral care and concern for you. I've been on the session, and I've received also the emails that are coming, and it's been a wonderful example to my heart to see how pastoring ought to be done. You remember I expressed that at that time, and I do again say that. So that I was trying to think, well, what do I exhort this brother? And the first step of it would be what I see applying from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says to that congregation, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." So the first part of my charge to you is just keep on doing the fine pastoring that you have been done by the grace of God. The next step in my charge to you as a minister is one that would apply to every believer here amongst us, even though I'm directing it at your pastor at Utah. And that is to beware losing your first love. When our Savior addressed the church in Ephesus after many years, he told them, it seemed to me, that they were doing so many things right, just as I've expressed that I see you doing so many things right. And now I'm not accusing you at all of having lost your first love, but I'm saying that's something that we all need to remember. And so I exhort you particularly, I exhort myself, I exhort the pastors and elders and deacons among us, beware, don't lose your first love, because that will grieve the heart of our Savior. But then the third step in my exhortation to you is, well, if you're doing a lot of stuff right, whether it's as the pastor or in some official capacity, or just in your general office as a Christian believer, if you're doing the stuff that you understand you're supposed to do, but still are in danger of losing your first love, even though you're doing all those things, how do you keep from losing your first love? I don't know all the answer to that, but I believe, negatively speaking, it isn't just to say, okay, well, then I've got to sit down and, as Jay Adams would have said, whomp up a feeling of love. Probably find that whomped up feeling of love doesn't last all that long, and you may be tired when you're done and find it harder to function. So my answer now to at least one good channel for doing all the stuff and doing it more and more, as you've been exhorted from 1 Thessalonians, but also to be sure that your first love doesn't weaken or run the risk of loss. How do you do that? Well, there are two phases to that answer. And the first is, of course, keep your eye on Jesus Christ. You heard a wonderful message that said, keep your eye on Jesus Christ. How do you keep your eye on Jesus Christ? Well, You're in the Word. You're in the Word for yourself, not just preparing teaching and messages for the congregation. So keep your eye on Jesus Christ, and brothers and sisters, you who believe, I say that to you. If you don't know Christ, of course, then you have to come to Him, please, on His terms, and have Him as your Lord and Savior. But I'm assuming most of us do know Christ in that saving way. So while I'm exhorting this man, I'm exhorting all of us, including myself, keep your eye on Jesus Christ. But then more specifically, and this is the almost last part of my exhortation, and it has to do with this. Do you remember when Christ ate with Simon the Pharisee? And the Simon, of course, was convinced that Christ was wrong, and he had this very spirit of self-exaltation, and he was very full of himself, and looking down on Christ and so on. And the woman came in who, weeping, washed our Savior's feet with her tears. Remember that? And Christ describes it. He said, Simon, Pharisee, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. All the just sort of the basics of hospitality and respect and love. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. And then this is the point. This is Luke 7:47. Therefore I tell you, says our Savior, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Now, the exhortation was saying to Todd and to all of us, beware that your first love doesn't cool or even risk being lost. So I hope, brother, that your prayer already and our prayers already are going up silently to the Savior. Oh, Lord, I want to love you much. I want to love your causes much. I want to love your people much. I want to love the lost much. But supremely, I want to love you much. How do you do it? Well, the principle in this is you have to have a lot of sin to be forgiven. Because if you're forgiven a lot of sin as a believer, and the Spirit of God works in you to understand what's the grace that you've been given and the cost that our Savior paid for that sin to be forgiven. If you're forgiven a lot of sin, you're going to love much. If you're forgiven just a little sin, you're not going to love as much. And you and I, we want to love Christ much. So now you say, well, all right, now what's that mean? Then do I go out and, you know what I'm going to say. Okay, if I want to be forgiven much, I better get busy sinning a whole lot more. And then he'll forget, and then they're asking forgiveness. And of course, that's not the answer. But I think the answer would be, as you're in the Word, keeping your eye on Christ, you're letting that Word search you out as to your own sinfulness. And keeping your eye on Christ, what do you do when you see that sinfulness? You come right there running to Him and thanking and praising Him. And it isn't that we have to add. We've got, as you heard, we've got plenty of that sin. Even though you may have been saved many years and you may have walked with the Lord and grown, oh, you just know the iceberg tip of your own sin. Isn't that true? Isn't that biblical? So there's loads of sin, and you're asking, in a way, the Lord to do what David prayed in that great Psalm 139 and in the end of the Psalm, which I'll read in just a moment. But you're saying, Lord, at your pace, not at anybody else's pace, but at your pace, show me my sin so that I can bring it to you and be forgiven and cleansed and strengthened, and then love you much and move the other direction from losing that first love. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to pray and begin that prayer with this prayer that the psalmist David had at the end of Psalm 139, and that'll be the conclusion, this prayer of my exhortation to you, to myself, to all of us. Let's bow before the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, as we're before you in prayer, we thank you for your gift of a pastor and teacher to this congregation. We thank you for his service that has been so fine and fruitful up to this point. And Lord, we're praying that he will continue and more pastor in a biblical, Christ-like way. But we pray for him, as we pray for each of us believers, that rather than drifting toward losing our first love, even when we may be doing all the right things in one sense, that we will keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, and that we will have you at your pace, in your love and grace and kindness to us, searching us out to see more and more of the sin that we need to see so that it can be brought to you and to the cross. And as a result, Lord, that we will love you more. We pray this then for our dear brother and for ourselves, thanking you that you've heard us. In Jesus' name, amen.